والسلام على سيد المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. السلام عليكم. To start by mentioning the obvious, and that is there are many, many definitions of feminism, many types of feminism. Some mention three waves of feminism, first, second, third. Some mention four waves, first, second, third, fourth. I would like to just focus on a couple of those briefly by saying that Islam does not countenance third wave feminism. So if those who identify with that particular movement, it's extremely problematic from an Islamic perspective. So one of the leading theorists, and some argue the originator of third wave feminism, Rebecca Walker, in the aftermath of the Clarence Thomas Supreme Court confirmation hearings, when Anita Hill's concerns, which Ms. Walker and many others felt should have disqualified Clarence Thomas, Anita Hill's concerns of the sexually predatory and unconscionable behavior of Clarence Thomas towards her and other women, should have disqualified him from the bench, but he was confirmed anyway. And so in the aftermath of that, Rebecca Walker wrote the following. She says, "I write this as a plea to all women, especially women of my generation, that Thomas's confirmation served to remind you, as it did me, that the fight is far from over. Let this dismissal of a woman's experience move you to anger. Turn that outrage into political power. Do not vote for them, men, unless they work for us. Do not have sex with them. Do not break bread with them. Do not nurture them. If they don't prioritize our freedom to control our bodies and our lives, I am not a post-feminism feminist, I am the third wave." So I think a Muslim should find that problematic. First and foremost, because it removes any concerns emanating from scripture, from the existence of God, from the equation altogether. It reduces the concerns of a woman strictly to her personal, individual affair. So it abstracts women from a wider societal context that concerns that she might have in a wider societal context. And just one brief example of what I mean, a wider societal context, and removing the divine. A woman should have sole right determine if she should have an abortion or not. And so any considerations of what Almighty God and the prophets of God have delineated concerning abortion are irrelevant in terms of a woman's right to make that determination. A wider social context, any considerations of the man with whom's participation, let's assume it's a consensual relationship. Let's assume it's a consensual relationship taken in the context of a marriage that's consecrated in the name of God. In that social relationship, the man with whom's contribution, that pregnancy will be absolutely unequivocally impossible, has no say in whether this child is born or not. That's a hard case to make from an Islamic perspective. Now there are nuances, there are considerations that we could discuss, but just presenting the case, all of the things being equal, I would argue that's a hard argument to make. You should not nurture me. We'll come back to this. But what Ustad Zainab mentioned, Ba'alikum and Ba'al. You are of each other. This verse alone, and I'll come back to this verse, they are garments for you and you are garments for them. One of the widely accepted tafsirs, and something repeated in the tafsirs, is they nurture each other. But this consideration says, no, the woman should not nurture the man if the man does not work for her specific concerns. Ba'adukum and ba'ad. I would argue that's difficult, that's problematic for a Muslim. Secondly, one type of feminism, lesbian feminism, is not something that Muslims would countenance. And that's an idea that, and it's a strand within feminism, it is not the whole, the totality of feminism. I mentioned this 2 years ago at the Knowledge Retreat at Reviving Islamic Spirit Conference, and I was at many sisters who said, you're saying all lesbians are feminists. I'm not saying all lesbians are feminists. I'm saying there is a school of feminist thought known as lesbian feminism that argues that lesbianism is the logical outcome of feminism. So, one of their theories puts it like this. In the words of lesbian feminist Sheila Jeffries, lesbian feminism emerged as a result of two developments. Lesbians within the women's liberation movement began to create a new, distinctly feminist lesbian politics. And lesbians in the gay liberation front left to join us, to join up with their sisters. And so, the argument goes from there. This is the logical outcome of feminism. That's a strand. That strand Muslims totally reject. Should totally reject, in my opinion. You could argue against me based on your assessment of the situation. I don't deny you that. You being anyone hypothetically out there, not necessarily in this room. Thirdly, I would argue that Islam rejects a postmodern view of feminism, which itself rejects the ideas of binaries. And a lot of you are being taught this in your university classrooms, that binaries are bad, and one of the bad binaries is the gender binary. There's the race binary, black, white. There's the gender binary, male, female. And it's bad, and to make a long story short, it's bad because if you accept the validity of that binary, you don't accept the validity of many of the groups that are subsumed by LGBTQI, etc. That's the bottom line. And so to just articulate a little further, that these binaries are social constructs, therefore they can be deconstructed, and we reconstruct them any way we want. And so that's something Islam rejects. Why? Because Allah says, وَمِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقْنَا زَوْجَيْنَ عَلَكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ, that binaries are the foundation of the creation. And they're not all confined to the gender binary, but that's one of them. وَلَيْسَ ذَكَرٌ كَالْأُنْثَى, the male is in no wise like the female. يَا أَيْهَا النَّاسِ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ وَأُنْثَى. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a pair. male and a female. So that's the foundation of the creation. That's the foundation of Allah Ta'ala mentioning His creation of the human being. And that can be what proves that. And so some people say that's a biological reality that has no social implications. Again, I would argue otherwise. A lot, there are social implications, and there are elements that are socially constructed, but at root, there is a binary that is inescapable. That can remove that. And so, binaries, and those who argue against it, what many of our Mufassirun say, that things are created in opposite and they're known through their opposite. And so those who reject binaries altogether, the Quran is full of them. Layl wa nahar, night and day, male and female, Islam and kufr, heaven and hell. And you can go on and on from there. And so I would argue again, that would be a very difficult argument to make. And I think for Muslims who confine themselves to those categories, third wave feminism, lesbian feminism, anti-binary feminism, that is entering into their entrances into very slippery slopes that one should be very careful with. Now, it's not healthy to talk about Islam based on what it isn't or based on what it doesn't countenance, because we should be very positive in presenting the religion. So in the balance of my time, I'd like to present what I feel are some of the verses that serve as the foundation for a Muslim feminism, if you will. First of all, there are legitimate concerns. Ustadh Zainab mentioned some of them, that specifically involve women. But the removal of those is the responsibility of everyone in the community, not just the sisters. And in reality, effectively addressing those issues must involve everyone. So in that sense, in the sense of moving, oppressive, destructive, soul-desiccating, like drying up your soul. Soul-desiccating practices that affect women have to be addressed by the entire community. Because in many instances, women can't address these issues alone in isolation. Women can raise a war, but sometimes, in some instances, it's going to take a man to say, listen, brother, you put another hand on your wife, there's a bunch of angry big brothers that are going to put a hand on you. I'm just saying. So sisters can say it's wrong, I'm getting abused, and maybe that abuser, the only thing they understand is the language that they're trying to speak with their wife. I'm not advocating for violence. I'm just saying sometimes a male's involvement in a situation is absolutely critical. But to be more to the point, we mention one verse as a foundation, that the binary doesn't have to be bad. See, one of the premises of those feminist scholars, postmodern scholars who argue against binaries, are that they're bad. But that's not something that Islam argues. So the male-female binary, entre les vases de la honte, la honte. It can be complementary. And that's the ideal situation. So it's not a question of men and women existing in opposition to each other. It's a question of men and women existing as complements to each other. And this is what this verse captures. It's further highlighted in the second verse, which I feel is a foundation for a Muslim feminism. The believing men and women are protecting friends of each other. يأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر ويقيمون الصلاة ويطيعون الله ورسوله أولئك سيرحمهم الله إن الله عزيز حكيم. So the believing women, men and the believing women are protecting friends of each other. بعضهم أولياء بعض. They encourage each other in establishing regular prayer. They encourage each other in commanding the good and forbidding the wrong. يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنكَرِ. So in the social space, they encourage each other to work together to ensure that the social space is one that's more morally and ethically healthy. They encourage each other in personal piety. They encourage each other in establishing regular prayer. They encourage each other in obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger. So in other words, there's no separate social project. There's no separate religious project that they exist in isolation of each other. Rather, they exist as complementary halves, as the Prophet ﷺ emphasized specifically when he said, "النِّسَاءُ شَقَائِقُ الرِّجَالِ," that women are the complementary halves of men. And so, as we engage in entertain and countenance ideas that split us apart from each other, we move away from the Muslim and the Islamic ideal, which is to bring us together. النِّسَاءُ شَقَائِقُ الرِّجَالِ. Men and women are the complementary halves of each other. So without each other, we're incomplete. So we need each other. But we need each other in healthy ways and not abusive ways. The male is in no wise like the female. And there are roles that we assume that are complementary. There are roles that we assume that are unique and distinct. There are roles that we assume that are exactly the same. But on aggregate, we have generally speaking, and again, there are exceptions to that rule, we have distinct roles, but we have a common destiny. Our rewards are the same for our actions. لَيُّ عَمَلَ عَمِلٍ مِنْكُمْ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى. The reward of either male or female will be diminished in any way. So I think on the basis of these verses and many, many others, what the Prophet mentioned, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we can create a healthy Muslim feminism, if you will. And I think we're in desperate need of that, because a lot of practices within our community and beyond our community are deeply harmful, deeply abusive, deeply particularly weighing upon women. You could can point to the pornography industry. Women are dehumanized overwhelmingly for the pleasure. I want to say the pleasure is, if you have, again, I mentioned this a couple of days ago, strong continent constitution, I would recommend Chris Hedges' new book, America, the Farewell Tour. In that book, he has a chapter on sadomasochism. And just, which is an extension of his chapter, The Empire of Illusion, on pornography, which is difficult stuff to read. And it's, the presentation is pornographic. And the presentation in the new book is masochistic. But it gets to the depth of how women are dehumanized. And as one pornography star mentioned, it's like James Baldwin. What does James Baldwin say ultimately about white America? Does he fear white America? Or does he pity white America? He pities. Like, I'm not afraid. Folks can kill me, lynch me, but I'm not afraid. I pity people who have such a hard time coming to grips with who they are. And Chris Hedges interviews a pornography star who, and the usual trajectory, abusive childhood, alcoholic parents, left home, got on drugs, needed to pay for it, or, the drug habit, was making $70 a day, working 12 hours at, I think, a diner, strip club. Could make $1,000 doing a half-hour shoot in a pornography film. Long story short, she says that I feel sorry for the men who are consuming pornography because it's destroying them. It's destroying them. And so the destruction of women, not for the pleasure of women, when the dehumanizing of women for the destruction of men, is something that is going to take all of us to end. The feminist movement as currently constructed is not going to end it. Women alone are not going to end it. This is one example. Domestic violence. It's going to take all of us working together, educating ourselves, educating our children, boys and girls, in healthier ways of living, of being, of understanding who we are, relating with our Creator, and seeking the love of our Creator first and foremost. And just as, and I have to stop now, a hyper masculine movement is not a solution. Just as a white identity movement, which was largely responsible for Trump's election, isn't the solution to a perceived black identity movement. The growing male identity movement, the red pill, is not a solution to a feminist movement. The solution is Islam. Understanding Islam and then building a way to address these real problems from a perspective and from an approach that is first and foremost not pleasing to men per se, not pleasing to women per se, but pleasing to Almighty God. Salaam alaikum.